This is the day that every preacher looks forward to all year. Stewardship Sunday. We all know that you love to come to church and hear about how you should be giving to the church. Admit it. You love it. The good news is that we don't enjoy it any more than you do. Fact is, it's like going to the doctor every year for your checkup or your flu shot. You know you need to do it. It's important to the life of the church. We all need a little refresher every year. We only do it once a year. And we have a special dinner afterwards to treat ourselves for sitting through this. But there really is nothing about stewardship we want to hear, is there? So here we are. Over the last 4 weeks, you've heard from the seven ministries of Highland Park and our council chair this morning. You've heard all the things that this church does and what it is given and what it has done in this community. You've heard how far-reaching this church is. I go out into the community and I hear how Highland Park is making such a difference. Just this week, I went to the visitation of Betty Porter, and I was kind of standing back, and a woman came in and was talking to David, and she was 70 years old, she told me. And she said, she wasn't talking to me, she was talking to David. She said, do you remember in high school how much fun we had at Highland Park? Do you remember all the things we did in our whole group of youth? And they were reminiscing about high school and Highland Park, and I couldn't stand it anymore, and I just stepped up and I reached out my hand and I said, well, guess what? I'm the pastor of Highland Park Baptist Church. Kind of took her aback. But then she jumped in with, you need to know what a great place that is. She hadn't been here since the 90s. And only then she'd come in for funerals. But Highland Park molded her life. And it molded many others. We look every week at the numbers at the bottom of our bulletin and we worry. We even look at the number of the people here and we worry. Every church I know is going through the same thing. People not finding it as important as we used to. They just don't find it as important to go to church. And even less important to give to the church. There's also the problem of leadership. We have these seven ministries that need people to lead them. And we can't always find people willing to be a part of the ministry, much less lead and chair the ministries. They're important. Everyone believes that. But we don't all give them our time. Enough time to make them work. The nominating committee spends countless hours working to find the right group of people to lead this church. So what can I stand up here and say to you that you haven't already heard or that you don't already know that will change the way you look at and participate in the ministries and the giving of this church? It's a good question. Does anyone have an answer? Anyone? Well, I was reading Zacchaeus, which is the lectionary for this week, and the story of Zacchaeus, and I thought, how do I tie that into stewardship and ministry, or do I pick another scripture? Then I decided You know, it's kind of simple. At least it seemed like it to me. Let's look at the story. And I know you pretty much have to sing the song in your head. I know you do. But Zacchaeus was an outcast, especially from the Jewish people. You see, tax collectors at the time were businessmen who have made a deal with the Roman government. And their deal was that they would collect taxes from the people. They basically sign a contract that they would collect X amount of money from the people of a town, and they actually paid that money up front. And then they went out to the people, and anything over and above what they had already paid was their profit. As you can imagine, this opened the door really wide for some pretty ugly taking advantage of people. I can't help but relate it to so many people today who run these scams over the phone trying to get your money. We got a call week before last that we had won a sweepstakes, and they would be at our house on Monday morning to deliver a check for $500,000. It didn't take me long to decide what we were going to do with that. Well, as probably won't surprise you, my husband Roy enjoys talking to these people. And he spent quite a bit of time on the phone with this man, even put it on speaker so I could hear some of it. But you know, the catch was they needed your bank information before they brought the check so that they could make sure your taxes were collected off of the $500,000. Convenient, wasn't it? There are all kinds of them out there. I know you get them all the time. Even those calls wanting you to give to a legitimate group. And the trick is you give to the legitimate group, but they only get a portion because the people who call get a big chunk. Is it no wonder that no one wanted Zacchaeus around? No one. Much is made about his stature, and we sing the song about him climbing the tree and watching for Jesus, and we think, oh, this poor little guy. But the real story is that no one wanted him around, and no one was going to do anything to help him out. He had to help himself. So he climbed up in the tree. And when Jesus stops and talks to Zacchaeus, the people get exceptionally mad because Jesus has given him time. I really thought about that a lot this week. Why did people get upset when Jesus spent time with him? Because he was an outcast? I wonder if it had to do with fear. Fear that when we're around people who are different or who do bad things, that they're going to rub off on us. Why did people get so upset? Why do we still avoid certain types of people or set up caste systems in our society? Did people worry that Jesus spending time with people like Zacchaeus might mean that Jesus might become a little more like Zacchaeus? That which is special about Jesus might just become a little tarnished by Zacchaeus? I remember back in the day when smoking was allowed in public restaurants, in certain sections. And if you sat near that section, you still got the smoke. You just couldn't stop it from drifting over. Were we afraid, are we afraid, that when we're around people a little different, that they're just gonna drift over and we're going to become like them. They couldn't have known the power of Jesus' love, because the power of Jesus' love purifies all, even the worst of us. Thank goodness. And then Jesus told Zacchaeus to come down, that they were going to have a meal together, not just down at the corner burger joint. No, they're going to Zacchaeus's house, where all the things he had purchased and all the gadgets he had and the big screen TVs were all there. What an interesting place Zacchaeus must have been in. I would imagine he was a bit torn between wanting to show Jesus his beautiful home and then being a little embarrassed that he'd profited from all of those people around him. But a few moments with Jesus, and Zacchaeus was a changed man. The translation that we use today, the NRSV, translates this to say, I will give to the poor, I will pay back. The actual wording is more, I have. All that I have, I give. A more present, not waiting for the future, I'm doing it right this minute. And there's a big difference there, because we all have really good plans for the future, don't we? But to jump in and do it now is another thing. I think it's important to recognize that for Zacchaeus, the easy thing would have been to just keep on keeping on. To meet Jesus, knowing that Jesus loved and cared for him, but thinking, I'll have to do what's best for me, and I need to keep doing what I know how to do, and maybe I'll be a little more honest and just make an honest living. But I still got to make a living. But that's not what he did. He took the hard road. How often do we convince ourselves that we just can't do what we know we need to do? I'm just too busy to reach out to someone in need. I don't have time to get up and get to church on Sunday, much less help with the ministries of this church. There are people who make a whole lot more than me, and they can take care of things. There are people who have a whole lot more time than me. Let them take care of it. Can I tell you that there are a handful of people here that give a lot of their time, a lot of their time, to make sure the ministries of this church are strong and reach out to this community. And frankly, some of them are getting tired. But they keep going because they recognize God's call in their lives to be different than the world calls them to be. They recognize God's voice in their lives saying, get out of that tree you're stuck in. Come down. Quit trying to take care of yourself. Spend time with me. Come and walk with me. Talk with me. Do what I need you to do. Maybe we all do need to be a little more like Zacchaeus. May we begin today listening a little closer and following what God calls us.